So with the consent agenda, there's action memorandum 15-047, confirm the mayor's appointment of Stephanie Allen to the Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Resources Advisory Board. Action memorandum 15-048, confirm the mayor's appointment of Joe Parks, Recreation and Cultural Resources Advisory Board. Action memorandum 15-049, which would be confirming Dot Helm to the same board. Action memorandum 15-050, confirming Helene Antel to the same board. And action memorandum 15-051, confirming Jan Newman to the same board. All right. Now we're on to reports. Mr. Manager.
So included, Mayor and Council, included in your packet is the last 2 weeks of activities that have gone on. It's been a pretty busy week, but the very first one I'd like to do a further update, and that's Granite Construction. Since we've been following that. So since last we met, the city submitted an amendment that was drawn up by the attorney that included a new contract date. This is a Granite Construction. It's out on the Glenda Highway of some property the city owned and about extending some utilities. So we submitted to Granite a new contract date. We asked for a change from a surety bond to a performance bond. We asked for an increased bond amount from $363,000 to $500,000. And then language that would basically deny a claim by Granite that because the deadline had passed would negate the contract. By the end of the month, on the day before the end of the month, Granite responded to the amendment. They agreed to the contract extension in writing and acknowledged their obligation to install the utilities. They countered and felt that the existing surety bond was sufficient, both of using a surety instead of a performance, and they felt like the amount of $363,000 was adequate. And then they removed the city's language about the timeliness defense. So on the advice of the city attorney, I contacted our bond insurer and the national surety company that advises our insurance carrier, Alaska USA, and they recommended that the surety bond would actually be the best to preserve the city's position as it stays in effect until the project is complete, versus a performance bond that's tied to a specific date. They also recommended that if Granite did not perform, the best method is to invoke the bond through Travelers versus filing a suit. They also recommended that Granite provide a letter from Travelers, who issued the surety bond, that the bond is current, which they had provided verbally to me earlier, and that on letterhead would remain in effect until the project is built. The proper bound amount, because there was a question about is it 360 or the 500,000, was put to Public Works. And the current requirements that we're asking them to work involves less construction than the original agreement with the bond, which was issued for 363,000. At the time, back several years ago, there apparently was no separate analysis of the original bond equipment and the number was given to us by Granite. So in response to that, they submitted a return to Granite that requested they sign the amendment using the city's format, which was a recommendation, city attorney. I agreed that the surety bond was still acceptable with the appropriate letter from Travelers and with the existing amount would go if they could provide a current construction estimate using Davis-Bacon wages, because the issue is if we have to do the project, then we would do it under our cost. And then I asked for a specific timeline for them applying for the permits from DOT. And so this shows that by the time you get to the end of the contract, yeah, they've actually started the process and not say, oh, well, we tried, but nothing happens until the end of 2 years. Today, Friday. Then today they called back and said, which is ironic, you know, they would agree to our request for a performance bond, even though our bond says the other one is better for us. That's fine. They also called and said, you know, the original bond was based not on the construction cost at all, but it was on the value of the land. So that's what they had based it on. They shared with me today that they have a estimate from Dow for the work to be done of $232,000. And then I asked that they confirm that that is Davis Bacon. And the manager just did not know that. So he said he was going to get back to them today. And they didn't understand the timeliness issue with the grant, but he said, fine, their attorneys would look and get back to us hopefully this week. So that's the one difference from the granite constructing that's in your plan. I can answer any questions about that. Also in your packet, and so this is the first time that you'll see, and as agreed, we said that there would be an update, a regular update on it's really the objectives to meet the goals. So in your packet, and it looks like this, the brown number, it has the council objectives and where we are on the status of each one of those. So I can answer questions about any of the items that are on our objectives or on the agreement. We also have the construction progress, and I can either answer questions or Mr. Healy.
Mr. Hansen.
Yeah, I have a question about your airport utility fee. Do you want to talk about that now, or do you want
to? Sure, I can do that. And it's also after a meeting that was just before this meeting. I think I've got a resolution to that, and I'll bring to council in two meetings from now. But basically, what that involves is that in 2003, 2004, we installed a water line out at the airport. And this was part of the time when we were looking to expand the airport operation and trying to attract people there. We got one person or one group that took one of the lots, and that's Palmer Angers, and they built, and we negotiated a lease with them, and we charged them a rate to repay the water utilities. And it was calculated on a per square footage amount. And they've been paying that for at least, I think, 5 years now. Most recently, about a year ago, we got the second one of those properties, and that was Cruise Construction. And we still, they're paying their lease rate, but they haven't paid an assessment on the water line. And the reason is that there is no... does not appear to be a council action where there was a assessment figuring out what the square footage was, but there is the anecdotal in that there was a charge you can figure out per square footage for the hangars. It appears as though three of the lots that were not served by this line, and they sit right next to our red snow shack there, just as you came in off of Evergreen, that the square footage for those lots appear to have been included in the calculation for Palmer Hangers, mistakenly. And so what's going to come back to you is a request to look at the how much each of them are assessed, so that then the council can decide, and you'll have a recommendation of how much cruise hangers would be assessed on their property. And again, I'd have it on next meeting, but we're not quite that fast enough. But we'll have it for two meetings from tonight.
Councilwoman DeFreeze.
Thank you. I just want to say to the city manager, I like the new form for the City of Palmer goals. I think that helps us, especially on some things that we may not talk about at every meeting, but we know that you're working on them, and we have some ideas. In fact, I had a call from somebody, and I was able to look on here and say, okay, well, this is planned for them. So that was very beneficial. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions of the manager? All right. Did that cover all the manager's report?
Yes, Mayor.
Okay. City Clerk's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This afternoon I received an initiative petition regarding marijuana businesses in the city of Palmer, and I've given the attorney a copy for his review, and it'll be 14 business days to respond to the application, and I'll keep you posted on the progress. And that's really all I have this evening.
Okay. And I don't have a mayor's report, so we'll go on to the attorney.
I'm good, thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Yes, sir. Councilman Best.
I have a question, and I don't know if the clerk can answer this real quick. So if I have a question of the attorney pertaining to some stuff that was on the consent agenda, would that be okay?
Yes. It's already passed, so then if you need to change something, there's a specific way to do it, but yes.
Okay. So if I may, Deputy Mayor. So I have first apologize to council getting here a little bit late. Palmer Wasilla traffic. I hit every light on the way back. Tonight we approved the consent agenda with the approval of the members for our new Parks and Rec Board. Recently, this year, we had a situation where our code stipulated a particular date, and it didn't have any wavering of those particular dates. If we review the Parks and Rec Board, it has very particular, specific dates as to when a chairman can be elected on that board. It also has particular dates of when members can be added to the board. Since this is just the beginning, I would like to ask the attorney to review that maybe when we go to break or something, if there's anything that we need to postpone or add language to this, bring forward before the council. I would appreciate that.
Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Yes, go ahead.
We can take a look at that. And you're probably thinking about staggered terms.
Well, it has to do with staggered terms, and it also speaks about when the chairman will be appointed, and talks to a very specific date. It doesn't say after the initial board. It says on this particular date.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Is there any other question or follow-up? Okay. So now we are on to audience participation, and that's the time to address the council on any matter for up to 3 minutes. And you guys have signed in. I don't know what order you're in, but I'll presume you've got it figured out. Could you state your name for the record, sir?
My name is Larry Hill. I live on First Street, 745-4090. I'm here representing the 49th Street, State Street Riders Car Club. I want to give you just a thumbnail of what happened at our first ice arena show that you helped us sponsor. And I've got a packet of information we'll leave with the city clerk so she can disseminate it to everybody afterwards or in the next few days. I'm just going to read from a quick cheat sheet here, a bullet list. First of all, we want to thank the council and all its participants in the city of Palmer that helped us put this show on. For the first time car show, we hit a few minor road bumps. People were going to the Rum MTA Sports Center. People were getting confused with the newly sponsored MTA sponsorship of a sports complex on the PW Highway. We could not get the road signs made up in time to give the correct location of the ice arena. This will be done in time for the 2016 show, which will direct all the traffic through the main part of town. Everyone who attended was real pleased as to the turnout and that Palmer and MTA were finally hosting an indoor car show. The city of Palmer, police, fire department, and DPW did an excellent job of assistance. In addition, Steve McSwain went more than the extra mile on his assistance and work overload on the part of the ice arena accommodations. Overall, we will work with both the city and MTA early on for the 2016 show to make it a really smooth show. We have found out the learning curve discrepancies of this year. The number of cars inside for the 3-day event was 75 vehicles with room for more. For the outside portion of the show Saturday and Sunday, we had a real nice turnout. I don't have a total number there. To answer city manager's questions, attendance for the 3 days was approximately Friday 800 people, Saturday 1500 people, Sunday was 1000, for a total of 3300 people over the 3 days. Also, the car show made the front page of the Frontier, in case anybody didn't see it. Lastly, from what all of the public informed us, is that our show in Palmer far exceeded what the indoor show in Anchorage did overall. In conclusion, the 49th State Street Routers will be putting on the hot summer nights in downtown Palmer on August 8th from 6 to 10 p.m. In conclusion, we want to thank the City of Palmer, the Council, and everybody that assisted us in this package. We appreciate it. And we'll see you again in August.
Thank you very much. Mr. DeVilbiss.
Yes. My name is Larry DeVilbiss, and I'm here as a Palmer resident, Larry DeVilbiss, tonight. I'm the one that submitted the petition this morning. I'm one of the sponsors on the marijuana initiative. The history of this is that after I asked the assembly to put this on the ballot this fall, the borough's ballot, and it failed, different people approached me and asked, you know, what could be done. And so a couple of groups initiated the process, and there's companion petitions before the borough. There's one prepared for Wasilla and one for Houston. So it's an effort to give the voters of the Mat-Su borough a voice on the issue of commercial marijuana. And it's not a total ban. Hemp, agricultural hemp, is exempt, and the personal use is exempt. This is a provision that was allowed in ballot measure 2 that passed last fall. The commercial side of the ballot measure 2 provided that municipalities could tax, they could regulate, or they could opt out. And so there's voters that want to be able to vote on it this fall. So we look forward to working with you. And I will say that we've all just assumed, although there's no state law that's totally clarified it yet, that this power went to each of the municipalities. We didn't just assume that the borough could do this on its own. So that's what's coming, and look forward to working with you.
Thank you, sir. Are you next on the list? I don't know. Can we have anybody not named Larry speak on audience participation? Come forward, Eugene. Come forward.
Just for the note, this is the first time you set the clock. Because the first two people, you didn't have the clock up.
May I respond? Just so the whole audience knows.
Yes, go ahead.
The whole audience knows. I'm not able to set that at 5 minutes, so I set my iPhone at 5 minutes. So it is being timed. The mayor watched me. So
okay,
the 3 minutes are up there. The 5 minutes are down here. Someday we'll fix that little thing going on. But
okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Sure.
But you know I didn't miss stuff. Okay.
I knew you would miss it.
You knew? How'd you know? Okay. My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. I live in the Matanuska Valley. And I've been in the Valley for a number of years. As you know, I talk about public process. Public process is done appropriately, then the decision made by the governing body is more likely in the public interest. I'd like to first note on something that you're probably going to be surprised with me noting, but today's paper, The Frontiers, from May 20th, front page talks about weighing on Palmer Airport Master Plan at Thursday's meeting. To me, this is a significant meeting, engaged with public comment. But please correct me. I did look at the front page of the website. It's not there. I did check the paper, and Tuesday's paper for any notice outside of a news copy thing. I didn't see anything. And I'm concerned that you want public comment, but where's the public notice for it? Now, the public notice requirement for you all doesn't say it's required to be on the website, so then it's in the newspaper. But then the way the news story is you're relying on the Frontiersman to write a news story. And then this news story is just, what, 2 days before? That's not good to consider what kind of public comment, public involvement at that meeting. And I should also note, and unfortunately it's happening at the same time, that because, as you know, I follow meetings, deliberations of the budget for the Borough Assembly is, that's Wednesday. That's the City Council meeting of Houston. That's Thursday at 7 o'clock. Okay, got myself corrected by myself. But I also like to also note one more thing. As you know, I've addressed you on MEA. I think you all expect me to say something about MEA. I'm sorry I had to miss your meeting on the 28th. As you know, I was at the general election meeting committee, and that made it so that it was hard to see be in attendance for your entire meeting. They had an election meeting on Tuesday. That shouldn't have happened. It should have been something like on a Saturday to engage the public, Saturday afternoon, not a Tuesday. And remember also, MEA is not just members in the Matsu Valley. It's also Anchorage community, Peters Creek, Eagle River, and so forth. It's two major areas in the state. And again, as I said previously, I stand by it, except for one note of correction. In the past, I said that I witnessed them the least transparent operation in Matanuska Valley. I correct myself there. They're the least transparent operation in the municipality of Anchorage and the Matsu Valley that I've seen so far. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Haberman. And just for your information, that I know I received a big, I think it was golden card at my residence and also at a commercial space that my wife has. So I know the consultant that's been doing this airport plan has sent out a lot of postcard information flyers. So we support the U.S. government as well as the local paper. So we sometimes do things by mail.
But you should have missed something in here.
And I believe it is on the website, but maybe not on the front page, but it is on the website.
The code does require it to be on the website, but it has to be in paper.
All right. Is there anyone else wishing to come forward for audience participation? Okay. We will close audience participation. Now we have public hearings. Public hearing for resolution number 15-001B, amending the City of Palmer 2015 budget by approving an appropriation of $25,000 for the Water and Sewer Utility Fund unrestricted net position to pay for preliminary design costs for water and sewer utility relocations related to the Glen Highway reconstruction, milepost 34 to 42 project, IM 15-028, public hearing 2 of 2, is now open. Anyone wishing to speak to this resolution, please come forward at this time. All right. So we will close this public hearing. And there's a pending motion to adopt. So is there any discussion?
Your Honor, the IM that we have on our desk from the finance director, which resolution?
That comes under, is it new business? So that memo goes with the new business item.
Oh, okay. Okay, because it doesn't. All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Good question. Is there any desire for more information? Are we ready to vote? Okay. So all those in favor of this resolution, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries unanimously. Public hearing for resolution number 15-001C, amending the City of Palmer 2015 budget for approving an appropriation of $67,000 from the Water and Sewer Utility fund unrestricted net position to pay for design and construction administration and construction of a repair to the Southwest Utility Extension Wastewater Main, item 15-029. Public hearing 1 of 2 is now open. Anyone wishing to speak to this resolution, you can please come forward at this time. Okay, seeing no one come forward. The public hearing is now closed. This is the first public hearing of two. If the council wants to make a motion, we can, or there's not a final vote until after the second public hearing, which I presume would be at our next regular meeting.
It is.
Okay.
Either one you want to do is fine. We'll make a note to make sure there's a motion.
Yeah. Good. All right. And another public hearing for ordinance 15-016, amending Palmer Municipal Code, Chapter 17-76, variances by amending Section 17-76.020, requirements for variance and repealing Section 17-76.030, cases where variance is illegal. Item 15-020 is now open. Anyone wishing to speak to this ordinance, please come forward at this time. Seeing no one come forward, the public hearing is now closed. All right, then there is a memo. What's up? Okay. We need a motion before we can process anything with this. So it's been moved and seconded. And now for discussion, I believe there's...
Your Honor.
Yes, sir.
Ma'am. The motion was in regards to the memorandum?
No, it was just for the introduction
Thank
of this.
You.
It was the motion to adopt.
The motion to adopt is what we have a first and a second on.
Your Honor, does the... letter, that memorandum that we have from Sandra Garley regarding on the 29th, the city attorney called and requested an opportunity to work with us on alternative language. And it says, therefore, requesting the council move to postpone this item until the July 28th meeting. So I will move for a postponement until July 28th.
Is it July?
It is here.
Okay.
And I'll second.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded to move this to July 28th meeting. So all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay. Public hearing for ordinance 15-018. Amending Palmer Municipal Code Section 8.11.010, definitions and enacting Palmer Municipal Code Section 8.11.040, marijuana oil flammable extraction prohibited, IM-15-066, is now open. Anyone wishing to speak to this ordinance, please come forward. Come on forward. Mr. Haber.
That's right. My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. I live in the Mesa Valley, and I deal with issues on public process. On this particular ordinance that's before you, I've addressed you in the past on marijuana ordinances that are before for public hearing, and I plead with you to hold two public hearings. I witnessed where council members in the city of Wasilla called the marijuana issue the most important issue of the year. I've addressed this, and you continue to go with only one public hearing. Last meeting you had, and I believe, and please correct me, I make mistakes. We're not all perfect, and I'm not perfect, but I believe you had another public hearing on marijuana, if I'm not wrong, or was the meeting before last you did? You had one on marijuana, and it was only one public hearing. And this was for introduction at the previous meeting, but there was marijuana previously that you had, too. But you only had one public hearing. and I don't think this is right. Something as important as this issue. Remember, I don't take a position on whether I'm for or against something. I deal with public process. Is the public been properly engaged before the governing body is making a decision? And if it is, then the decision made by the governing body is more likely in the public interest. This is an example. It's very important in the community. It stretches out across the state. People I've witnessed traveling from Anchorage to Valley and Valley to Anchorage to attend meetings dealing with marijuana. And as you know, the borough has a committee, advisory committee, and includes members from the city of Palmer, representatives. Such an important issue, you need to engage the public before you make a decision, and by only holding one public hearing. Now, I strongly urge you to not close this public hearing, but put a motion to continue public hearing, and you can do that tonight, and that would be the appropriate thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else wishing to speak at this public hearing? Okay, so we will close this public hearing. Is there any discussion, or do we want to see the staff report? Councilwoman DeFries.
Just going to ask, I don't think we have a motion to adopt yet, do we?
Yes, we do.
We do have a motion to adopt?
No, we do not.
Oh.
We need a motion.
We need a motion.
You get a double negative and you get a yes,
yes,
right? So what does that mean? Okay, I will move for adoption of ordinance number 15018.
I'll second.
Okay, so it's been first and seconded for a motion to adopt. All right, now is there any discussion?
I was just going to say we did have this item before us, and it was really broad at that time, and we did have, I think, one person testifying, Daniel Palmer testified, and afterwards I went up and I asked him, I said, okay, how should we address this? And this was his recommendation, because it's what I believe Ketchikan has done. If they do want a staff report, if the city manager would allow, I think Lance is here, he could certainly explain it better than I do. But to me, this is a health and safety issue. It doesn't restrict the opportunity for this activity to take place, but it does restrict, in essence of health and safety, to restrict it to be in a safe manner.
Okay. We want to hear, Mr. Manager.
Mayor, did you want police chief to come up? Is that what I heard?
I don't know.
Okay.
If anybody else wants to, that's fine.
Sure.
That works.
Mr. Byte,
please.
One of our youngest chief of police we've had. Welcome, sir.
Evening. I'm Lance Ketterling, the Chief of Police for the City of Palmer. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions council has.
Councilman Best, did you have a question specifically?
Not any specific. It's not a specific question. It's, again, to what Councilwoman DeRees was explaining, this is more of a life and safety issue because of the manufacturing method. If you could just expand upon this manufacturing method and how dangerous it might be.
Absolutely. I believe it is more for health and safety. It's not designed to prohibit anybody from making these substances in a safe manner. It's designed to prevent them from doing it using some of the very volatile methods, which are considerably quicker than some of the safer methods out there. Primarily, when we're talking about volatile and explosive gases, we're talking about things like butane and propane, which are blasted through a marijuana mixture into a Pyrex bowl, and then you have to evaporate the liquid that is in there. That's often done with a heat source, and as the state of Colorado had seen, that can cause some considerable explosions. I believe they had 32 in 2014 across the state, and they can be pretty powerful explosions when you're talking about a small apartment or a home with basically an enclosed space with a volatile gas and a heat source. And I believe the purpose of the ordinance is just to simply prevent those types of situations. It's not designed to prevent the manufacture of an oil from marijuana in a safe way.
Councilman Irby.
Is there an industry standard or definition as to what specifically is a volatile or explosive gas? I mean, are they gases rated, or how is that going to be determined?
That is a question I don't have the answer to. I wish I could be more specific, but I just simply don't know if there's an industry standard for volatile.
I just want to follow up. That seems problematic in enforcing this if we don't have a definition.
Well, and in that, you could be very well correct. And until these have stood up to a court challenge, any one of these could become problematic in enforcing. It all depends on how the court wants to interpret the ordinance that the individual cities have drafted. We're not necessarily reinventing the wheel, but we are breaking, to a degree, new ground with these. And until they've been challenged in court, we're just not sure how the court's going to react. The intent was to, again, basically not prohibit this in a safe manner, but with volatile and explosive, things like butane or propane would certainly fall into that category. And those are the two main methods of doing this. There are other methods, things like toluene and other different things that you can strain marijuana through, compress it, and dry it out in an oven that could fall under this method. But those aren't encountered very often as much as the more explosive things like butane and propane.
Yes, Mr. Manager.
Mayor to Council. You're looking at Google, our favorite thing. There is an international standard that talks about flammability standards, so we could go back and refer to that. And it and there's it has flammability limits and explosive limits on it. So it does. You're asking, is there a standard for it? Yes, there is. There's a national standard about it, and we can pull that out and see how that fits.
Also, just in the title, it ends with flammable extraction prohibited. I mean, it's fairly, it is general, but it's. Yeah. Okay. So, what is the, do we have any more questions of the chief? Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
What do we wish to do with the vote on the motion? If that's a call for the question, that sounds like, okay. No? Okay, so. You're ready to vote. Okay, all those in favor of this ordinance, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, looks like it's unanimous. Okay, action memorandum. So is there a motion to authorize action memorandum 15-003 to authorize the city manager to submit an application to the Mat-Su Borough to dedicate a 60-foot right-of-way to the east across southern portion of Tract A2 Patterson Subdivision to create a second access for tax parcel C8?
So moved.
Second. Okay, so it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion, or do we wish to receive a staff report?
Please.
Okay. Mr. Manager.
Mayor, I'd ask that we bring Sandra Garley up, and she can. There's a report in the council agenda, but I think might get some insights from Sandra Garley and the Planning Commission.
Welcome, Ms. Garley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. One of the challenges in Palmer, I think that we all recognize, is that we don't have a lot of parcels that are large enough for development of more residential property. This parcel, C8, is 9.3 acres. It's located next to one of our jewel recreation sites, the MT Events Center. And it's also very, walkable distance to the middle school. So it's a very attractive place for residential development to take place. This question comes up now because we do have a potential developer for that parcel who would like to develop a planned unit development there. But irregardless of whether that particular development takes place or not, If that property, which is now zoned R1, is to be developed in the future, even as a simple R1 single-family residential subdivision, which would give us about 38 to 40 lots, the Public Works Department, the Fire Department, the Community Development Department all really feel it's really important that that parcel have two access points. Right now, the only way to access that 9.3-acre parcel is off of Cope Industrial Way, off of a very long flag lot. So there are some emergency services provision challenges there. The parcel that the city owns, which is in, there's a map on our a vicinity map on page 100 that you could look at, is the location of the soccer fields behind the MTA Event Center. When those soccer fields were developed, Public Works recognized that that would be perhaps at some point in time an extension of the existing commercial drive, and purposely left a 60-foot gap from the end of the soccer fields to the edge of our property for future development of the extension of commercial drive. This, at this particular point in time, the city is not interested in paying for the development of the extension of commercial drive. The developer, this development may or may not ever happen, but this would be an appropriate time to go ahead and join with the developer to have the developer submit an application with our, as the property owner's, approval to request that a right-of-way, a public use easement, be dedicated across that property so that in the future, whether that's in the near future with this particular developer or in the farther future with some other future property owner, that that residential property could be developed. And whoever the developer is and whatever density the development is, there are two safe, drivable access points to that 9 acres. And that's the purpose to our to the request to allow the manager to sign the application so it can move through the platting process at the borough.
Councilwoman DeFreeze.
Were you going to say?
No, go ahead.
Okay. May I ask a question of
yes,
Ms. Carter? I on page 96, I see where it says that the VRS will pay for all expenses for the plat amendment process, except fees, survey, and stuff. But has there been made any, and maybe this is even to the city manager, has there been any commitment on behalf of the city to construct? No. Okay. That's what I needed to know.
No, and in fact, if this developer were developed, one of the things that we would be asking as the plan unit development is that that they would be responsible for a secondary access.
And they have an understanding of that even now? They understand that even kind of verbally going forward? Or?
Well, I think they understand that. We've had conversations with members of their team and the manager. Of course, they will always look at other alternatives, and one of the other alternatives they may look at is trying to find a safe way to move traffic through that flag lot. Again, I had have had conversations with the Public Works Department, Tom Healy, with the fire chief, and I believe that the borough will require for even a single-family subdivision that there be two access points. So that will be an issue that will be faced by the developer either now or later.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any other question?
And there are representatives here from the developer if you'd like to.
Okay. Councilman Hanson.
On the flag lot, what is the what's the width of that, the pole part? Is that 50 feet?
I believe it's 50 or 60 feet. Again, I think that there's a representative here from Alaska Rim Engineering who probably has that figure right up the top of his head. Yeah. 60.
He says 60. And how wide is that flag?
60. 60. The flag is 60 feet. How long is it? I don't know how long the flag pole is. I'm sorry.
I have one final question.
Yes.
Do we have a cost on the construction of that 60-foot right-of-way?
Again, that would be the developers, engineers, that would be able to share that with you if they've gotten that far in their planning process.
We don't have any?
No.
We don't feel it's our responsibility at all?
We don't normally build roads for developers.
Okay. What about the other lot, Lot 1A? Are they going to be responsible for a portion of it, or is all on the petitioner?
The Lot 1A has a road that is there, although it is not a paved road. No. The responsibility that we were discussing with the developer was for that section that crossed our property. For the section that crosses our property, property tract A2.
Do you have any other questions for Ms. Garling? Thank you, ma'am. Any more discussion? All right. So all those in favor of authorizing action memorandum 15-003, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, unanimous. So is there a motion to authorize action memorandum 15-032, authorize city manager to negotiate and execute an assumption of proprietary lease from James G. Sanders and Constance Sanders to Chad Nuttall and David Nuttall for Palmer Hangar Owners Association Unit Number 9, Lot 11, Block 3, at the Palmer Municipal Airport. Is there a motion?
So moved, Your Honor.
In a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Is there any discussion, or do we have a staff report, please? Mr. Manager.
Mayor and Council, Jeff, our airport superintendent, is here to speak, and I'll just talk a little bit about it because he's been sick for the last week, so I don't know how long he's going to be able to hold up on voices. But in your packet, you'll see a request with the Palmer Hangars Association, and this is to, again, we've had a couple of times of assignment of leases, and so Jeff has worked closely with the city attorney and our insurance carrier and the owners of the association to work through not just the assignment, because that seems to be a pretty standard issue, but the question that came up and why this has taken some time is about the insurance coverage that's required to protect the city, both on the individual lease and then the lease of the association. So you'll see both of those have been taken care of in this assignment. And so then, Mayor, if it works, I'd ask our airport superintendent, Ms. Holmes, to come up and talk about that, and also the city attorney can answer any other questions that are in there. So.
Welcome, sir.
Deputy Mayor, council members, first of all, I need to apologize. It was dental work. I've had a lot of 3 weeks of intense dental work, and I think they got it all ironed out. So my speech is a little slurred. I'm not drunk, I swear. I'm just getting over this, but I'm doing much better today. So one of the things that came out of our joint Airport Advisory Commission in our council meeting was to make sure we streamline as much as we can the processes that are out there for leases, especially under insurance requirements, and to make sure it's not overburdensome or where it's not double insured or required. So when this assumption of lease came, it seems like it should have been a simple boilerplate. You know, it's just a one person buying a hangar from another. And the city attorney and I and the our city insurance brokers learned, it was anything but that. It was the initial proposed assumption did not tie the insurance requirements back to the base lease that we signed with Palmer Hangars. So going through and down and around the rabbit hole with this, the discovered quite a few items. Palmer Hangars requested back in 2006 that they be alleviated from individual units requirements for general liability insurance, not just for their aircraft, but their actual unit. They're run like a condo association. Originally, they were an LLC. 1 year after that, they, through council authorization, they became a Palmer Hangars Association, and they fell under the rules of basically a condo association. So in that agreement and in their charter, which had to be signed off by, well, which was approved through council action, it expressly requires under their insurance requirements that each unit owner is required to obtain liability insurance for the individual unit as expressly set forth in the Air Force lease and future consents to proprietary leases. So even though they requested to be released from it, it's actually in their charter. And I got with our insurance broker. Our insurance broker contacted their insurance broker, and they both were in agreement that the individual units were not covered under the Palmer Hangars insurance requirements. Palmer Hangars has been providing insurance certificates to date of $1 million, $2 million aggregate insurance as required up to this date, but that just covers the overall structure, the common areas, and it does not cover the individual units as spelled out in their own charter. At the last Airport Advisory Commission, we had Mr. Grossclose here. He's now the president of the Palmer Hangars Association. Him and I have been working together to clarify this, and he was under the misunderstanding that they've never, since 2005, none of the units have ever had paid or provided proof of general liability for their units. Well, that was an inaccuracy. Up to 2008 and 2009, there was correspondence between the airport manager at the time and the president of the Palmer Hangars Association, Mr. Riggs, who unfortunately passed away this summer, and that kind of led into a bunch of historical knowledge getting lost, as you can well understand. That back and forth, is insurance required? Is it not required? And so I just basically looked through all the previous council actions, and I can find no previous council action that alleviates them from this insurance requirement. So for them to move forward, there was a unit that was being purchased in 2009. Thank you.
Hold this a second. Mr. Attorney, did you have a question?
Yeah, just a couple of things to sort of focus what Jeff's talking about. The documents that were received on this transaction were really not coordinated with the underlying lease. So Jeff worked very hard to identify those documents, pull them together, and coordinate all the documents. In keeping with that, it was determined that there were issues with the insurance that Jeff has straightened out, and that's what he's presenting to you right now. So the bottom line is While it's all well and good for the Airport Advisory Commission or the users to say we want to streamline things, make it easier, the bottom line, at least for me, is what protects the interests of the city. And I think that when we looked at the documents, I didn't like the documents that had been submitted for this, and we amended them. And then we looked into the insurance requirement, and we said, well, this needs some remediation, and Jeff has accomplished that. So what you have is a set of documents that goes back to the source, looks at all the documents, and triangulates them so that they reach the point that's necessary to protect the interest of the city and fulfill the aims of the hangar owners for selling the property. So I think you have a good set of documents with city protection.
Councilman Hansen, yeah.
I have a question.
You
are saying then that you believe that each individual unit, as well as Palmer Hangars Association, both need a $1 million general liability insurance.
That is correct. It was originally, in 2007, it was $300,000. Our insurance broker says now it should be 100. It should be 1 million for each individual unit. The Hangar Association is a 1 million, 2 million aggregate, being a corporation. That is at the advice of the broker.
So let me ask you a naive question, okay? So why do we as a city feel like we have to have 1 million general liability insurance for each unit plus Palmer Hangars Association in general? I mean, what we have is land, okay? They have the asset, right? Why do we have to be double insured on this thing?
Yes, go ahead, Mike.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, thanks, and ask Jeff or the manager to weigh in as necessary, but the best example of this that I can present to you is anecdotal evidence based upon real-world circumstances. And there was a case a few years back, you might recall, where the city had a thaw truck. Somehow it got procured under a former public works director based on a PO, no contract, no insurance. The gentleman that had the company set up to thaw the pipes, burned down a hangar. The hangar had over $1 million of equipment in it, and there was some threat of liability to the city. In our agreement, we had not only requirements for insurance, but also a defense and indemnification provision, so we tendered it back to the hangar owner for them to pay for it instead of the city. So that's the reason, and each of these individuals have separate operations that could cause liability, or the city could be involved in some issue that causes liability, and that's why people have individual insurance. It's just a prudent business approach to protect the city and its residents and taxpayers in the event of claims of liability.
We're talking about both the Palmer Hangars Association and the individual units. Can you tell me why both of them need to have?
I can weigh in. Palmer Hangars Association does not provide coverage for their individual units, so they are essentially uncovered from any kind of liability that they incur, and it's spelled out right in their own charter. So there is no insurance that's covering each individual unit. Only the overall structure, I don't know really what that means. It does not mean the individual unit, I know that much. And it does also not mean the common areas. They have restrooms there, the parking areas, they have storage areas that are all covered under that liability.
Mr. Attorney.
And I can provide another anecdotal example of a case where a property owner is exposed, and this was a case involving another client of mine a number of years ago, and it involved a chain across a road, and there was some serious injuries as a result of people with four-wheelers. My client got named in the lawsuit. We had no responsibility for it except potentially an easement that turned out not to be one. I sat through 2 weeks of depositions before I was let out of the case, not me, but my client. And so that's another example of why you want to have insurance on this. Plus, I think our insurance broker, who are really the experts in this, not me, have recommended this form of insurance.
Councilman Hansen.
So let me ask you a couple more questions. So tell me exactly, so all these attachments that you have on this, this is what is necessary for them to transfer the lease, okay?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, so they have to, the proprietary lease is with Palmer Hangar Association and the individual tenant.
Correct.
Okay, and then they have to sign 0502 or whatever the name of that.
They have to be in complete compliance with the original lease, which is 0502, correct?
Okay.
If I can add, one of the things that, as you see, that through this action, Mr. Nuttall, who's the one that's assuming the hangar, what he did basically is went back to his insurance broker, and they worked with our insurance broker to basically come to an understanding that the insurance that he was providing at first did not name the city of Palmer as insured, as also an insured party, and it did not also claim the actual unit as insured for liability. It kept going back to the aircraft. Like if he was in the aircraft, operating the aircraft, and he ran into the side of the hangar, did not cover if he was in a vehicle and he was towing his aircraft and he ran into the side of a building and caused damage. The actual aircraft liability insurance will not cover this. And also if he had a workbench in there and he was doing, getting a survival kit bay ready and a flare gun goes off and creates a fire. It also, his aircraft insurance liability did not cover this. So what he did with his insurance company, which, we do have an insurance certificate, as you can see as part of the packet, our broker did require, as you see on, page 2 of the, AOPA, let me see, yeah, page 2 of the AOPA insurance requirement, page 1, they added, and this was required by our broker, because, and they went back and forth, they fought like cats and dogs, but that's what they should do, to add that additional coverage or agreements. That, to them, met the requirement for them to attach it to their general liability policy for their aircraft, covering the unit.
And what was their argument? Why didn't they want to do it?
You know, as you look through the trail of this, it's the bottom line. They want to try and there's a lot of belief out there that you don't need liability insurance, period, on an aircraft. FAA does not require you to have liability. Aircraft flying over you right now, you don't know if they even have, they don't have to have liability insurance at this point. So a lot of people don't believe in liability insurance. It's just an extra tag on, something they don't want to pay. And, when it gets right down to bare bones on it, you know, you don't, until something happens and you really incur a serious expense with insurance, you're going to be held accountable. Now, this person, and that brings us back to us. I mean, if an incident happens and they are culpable and they do not have insurance, we're going to go on to this also protects Palmer Hangar Association. So the next step is for if somebody was injured, let's say in their unit, then they're going to go to Palmer Hangars. Palmer Hangars, let's say they fold up, they close up. And the next place they're going to come is the other deep pockets, and then we have another lawsuit against the city of Palmer that we have no insurance to cover against. So this may seem as, and trust me, this is counterintuitive to promoting business on the airport, requiring this insurance. But it's also a risk mitigation factor that we have to do that cost-benefit analysis. You know, are we going to lose business? Are we going to, you know, have an aircraft that doesn't have insurance and it costs us more than we would have ever gained in revenue? But as far as I can see, my whole job was to go through, find where we're at council action, and it is required at this point.
Do you have any more questions?
No, I just would like to say I appreciate the diligence of getting to the bottom of this and, you know, really, I guess, in some ways, really watching out for the interest of the city of Palmer, and we didn't have to have, quote, a claim in order to prove, you know, you did it the easy way. So appreciate that.
Thank you.
Do you have any more questions for our airport superintendent? Okay. Thank you, sir. All right. We're ready to vote. Okay. So all those in favor of authorizing action memorandum 15-032, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, unanimous. Okay, is there a motion to authorize action memorandum 15-039, authorize the city manager to negotiate and execute amendment number 1 to the professional services agreement with Wolf Architecture for architectural services for the Palmer Building Improvements Project?
So moved.
Second? Yeah. All right. Do we have any desire for a staff report, or are we ready to vote? Mr. Best.
Yeah.
Microphone.
So on the Wolf document, where it basically breaks down exactly the scope of work.
What page are you on?
135, excuse me.
Thank you.
Item 3E, provide new storage either exterior or interior. The interior storage, was it just labeled like this just so that there's multiple options?
Manager.
Mayor to Councilmember Best. At a subsequent meeting, I think it's the next one, you'll see a whole discussion specifically about storage coming back. They raised some issues, and so bring that back to council before we go to that next phase. That's our next meeting.
Okay. Councilwoman DeFreeze.
Thank you, Your Honor. On the Palmer Public Safety Building complex, I noticed the other day when I was driving on South Valley Way that we have some peeling paint there on the exterior of the City of Palmer Police Department. Would this exterior siding, partial replacement, and complete refinish, is that going to address that peeling paint?
Mr. Manager.
Mayor, to the mayor and council, can I ask for Mr. Healy to come up? The answer is yes, but he'll describe what it is.
Mr. Healy, welcome.
Mr. Mayor, council members, in answer to that question, yes. I think it talks about under 2B, exterior siding, partial replacement, and complete refinish, meaning painting the whole building. Yeah, there's some of that siding that's been, we've had some roof icing problems, and so some of the siding, the first four or five runs of it closer to the ground is rotting out in places, so we're going to have to replace quite a bit of that. But then, yes, we'll repaint the whole structure.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Any other questions of Mr. Healy or the manager? All right. So all those in favor of authorizing action memorandum 15-046, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oops. It's 39, I believe.
So. Oops. Did I get the wrong one? Uh-huh. Sorry. So let me clarify. We're voting on 15-039, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So all those in favor of 15-039, please say
yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, unanimous. Yes. It must be time to take a break. Let's take a 10-minute break.
Yeah, I think that's a good catch. Go back and do something.
Okay. I think we took a 12-minute break. Okay. We'll come back from break here. Back to action memorandum. And are we on 046?
Yes.
Okay. So is there a motion to authorize action memorandum 15-046, authorize the city manager to negotiate and execute an agricultural lease containing approximately 98 acres with Kevin Froehling, DBA, Spring Creek Farms for tracks A and B of the Palmer Municipal Airport, excluding runways, taxiways, aprons, lease lots, city storage structures, and golf course.
So move, Your Honor.
Second.
So it's been moved and seconded. So is there any discussion, or we wish to have a staff report, or Mr. Best, yes?
And this is simply for hay, correct?
Mr. Manager?
Okay.
Mayor, Councilmember Best, yes.
I was just curious to make sure that we're not going to be putting anything in out there that's going to be attracting birds and creating more strike hazards.
No.
Okay. Is there any other questions or all right. All those in favor of authorizing action memorandum 15-046, please say yay.
Aye.
Any opposed?
We don't follow directions very well.
No opposed? Okay. The motion's unanimous. I was just reading the script. Yeah. It says yay. I think that's in the code. Okay. Is there a motion to authorize action memorandum 15-052, endorsement of the city clerk's submission of nomination of candidacy as the International Institute of Municipal Clerks Region 9 Director?
So moved.
Okay. It's moved and seconded. My question is, if she gets this, does that mean we're more likely to lose her to someone else with such a, yeah.
I guess you'll find out. But he did mention that ahead of time, and he said, well, maybe that's what we want to do. I'm like, oh.
But I had a smile on my face. So.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, Madam Clerk.
I'll make another comment and then leave it to you guys to discuss and ask questions. I can't remember what year it was. I believe it was 2009 because I was president of the association then. And in my evaluation, my executive session, I actually spoke to this issue saying it would come about in 2015. And I do remember a specific member, maybe even two, saying, oh, well, I won't be here then. And guess what? You are.
Never say never. Do we have any questions on this? Okay, so all those in favor of authorizing action memorandum 15-052, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Really? Okay, so there's a, was that making a 5-1?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So there's no unfinished business. New business. Is there a motion to adopt resolution number 15-008, authorizing the acquisition of a public use easement on tax parcel, my goodness, 2422B01L002 and authorizing the mayor to execute documents for that purpose. I am 15-030. So it's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion or do we wish a staff report?
Your Honor, I was just wondering if we do need to read into the record the correction for the availability of funds. I don't think it discusses it in the resolution, but it does discuss it in the IM. So I don't know if the clerk can tell us, give us some instructions there, or the attorney.
Madam Clerk, what's the best way to handle this?
Probably the cleanest way would to actually make an amendment just so that it can automatically be put into the document.
Okay.
Your Honor, I'll move to primary amendment number one, that one source of the financing will be grant 14-DC-126, steel water main improvements, and deleting the ADEC grant 67117 steel water main as being a funding source.
Second.
Okay. We have a primary amendment one and a second. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Okay.
Your Honor, yes. I was just wondering how much money was left in that account that we quote, to me, lost because we didn't, file for it by the 1st of May of 2015. Do we have a figure on that,
Mr.
please?
Manager?
Thank you.
No, Mayor, Mayor, Councilmember DeVries, I don't think we lost any money. It's just saying that's expired. We put a, remember, this project is a multi-year, and it has different, we use up the existing grants and then move on to the next one. So I believe we've used all those we charged against it.
Well, it says here, although there are still funds in that grant, it expired May 1st, 2015. Yeah. So there, according to this, there were funds available. We just didn't authorize them in time to access. So is that incorrect?
So Mayor, can we ask
Mr. Manager? Okay. Ms. Green, can we...
Now request Director Healy to come up.
Okay. Mr. Healy, you might have to bring your own chair.
Okay. I don't have those numbers, Deputy Mayor and Council. I don't have those numbers in front of me. I just know that there was funds left in that particular grant, 67117. We do have matching funds. However, we decided for $500 it would be better to take it out of the other grant, the 146 or 126, whatever that was.
126.
I'll be more than happy to go to my office and pull that up if you would like, right quick. Wouldn't take but a few minutes.
I'd like to see the figure at some time. I don't think it isn't going to affect my vote on this particular resolution unless some of the other council people want to have it. But I would like to see the figure at some time, so you can give it to the clerk and the clerk can email it out. Maybe I'm the only council member that wants it. I don't know, but thank you.
Council Member DeVries, we do have payables, and I do believe that we do have an invoice that will be paid under this grant, so it would be more accurate if I could get through the payables to make sure that we have everything, and then I will be sure that the city clerk receives that information and gets it to the council.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay.
Any other questions?
Don't believe so. Thank you.
Thompson brought up this week pretty
good. Good work, Tom.
And you did a great job.
Okay, so all those in favor of adopting the resolution, we are on the primary amendment one. Okay, All those in favor of primary amendment one, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so that's unanimous. So, any more discussion on the main motion? All right. Now, all those in favor of adopting resolution number 15-08 as amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's unanimous. Record of items placed on the table, Madam Clerk.
The information regarding resolution number 15-008.
I think also the information from Larry Hill.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Hill.
Correct. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay. And on to audience participation. It's a time to address the council on any matter for up to 3 minutes. So audience participation is now open.
Can I get permission for 3 seconds to address time? The one item that I have public hearing that needs some correction.
You can give me a 3 seconds more. Let's do 3 minutes because a serious error here occurred. So I need 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
No, you have 3 minutes, sir.
Oh, gee. You know what my credit from before. Okay. My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I'll cut myself short here and just say this public process and budget. First, I'd like to compliment this body. You hold two public hearings. Unfortunately, the other two cities don't. They hold one public hearing. Wasilla passed, had a work session a week before, one week, and the following Monday, they had one public hearing, and that was it. And if I remember right, I was the only one that addressed it and concerned that they should have two public hearings. Now on public hearings on budget, as you know, the borough has been on their budget. On one Thursday, they had a session with the department at 10 o'clock in the morning and ended around 3:30 in the afternoon. How is the public supposed to be engaged in that? A lot of people in the valley earn their bread and butter by going to Anchorage. Should have been a Saturday afternoon. So I was there for most of the time, and I believe one other person was there for the entire time, and that was it. The following Monday, there was the first public hearing. Approximately 6 people testified. It was in Wasilla, and the loudspeaker was just terrible set up. Then Tuesday, they had 3 public hearings dealing with ordinances that I believe was hand-in-hand to deal with the budget, meaning were they going to come up with revenue, and there was tax cap and other issues there, change this, reveal this, whatever. There was a lot of people there at last minute notice. I requested 2 public hearings. They didn't do that. They do have 2 public hearings. One was Monday, and then Thursday was in Willow. Thank God. They extend out to Willow, and there was a lot of people in Willow. Now they're in deliberations. And again, I pleaded them before that, hold 3 public hearings. They did not do that. Now, remember I said is that I follow public process. The decision is made appropriately in the if the public process is done right, then the decision made by the government body is more like in the public interest. 2 of the most important issues before a government body, such as yourself, is this, certification of election and budget. Thank you again. You hold 2 public hearings. Now for the 51 seconds I got here. Ordinance number 15-016. There was a note here to move this item and postpone because you were going to discuss alternative language. Well, if you're going to have different language, as already noted here, you had a public hearing, you close it, it should have been something like a motion to do indefinitely and then have a totally new ordinance for public hearing. The public should be engaged in what kind of language is going to be up in the air, and it's already noted in this package here. So you need to drop that and put a motion to postpone that issue to indefinitely so it ends it and bring in a new whatever language it is and introduce that ordinance in 2 seconds I got appropriately. Thank you.
Did you get that?
Is there anyone else that wishes to speak for audience participation? Okay, on to council comments. We'll start with Councilwoman Combs.
Thank you. It's been a busy couple of weeks. And I know that the car show I thought was fabulous. I was able to be there when they did their opening, which was nice. And they already knew that they were going to have a few problems with some attendance. I spoke to as many of the vendors as possible. I just did circuit. Someone was standing there with their car. I spoke to each and every one, thanking them for being here and asking them to please keep us in mind if they had any pros and cons on how it was going. And it was already mentioned at that time about being able to find the place and identify it. But in general, everything I heard out then in the community over the next 2 days was terrific for that car show. So I'm really glad we're going to have it on an annual basis. I was contacted by the Grad Blast people last week and asked if I would mind mentioning the Grad Blast at the chamber meeting. So in addition to a couple other things I already had on my plate for chamber, I not only did that, but I helped them out and made up a little thank you card that went out to all the businesses. It was also another little bit of a plea. I was just telling Councilmember DeVries, I'm glad I'm not in charge of it this year. They ended up with only 5 days' notice of an additional 45 students. And they're just concerned to make sure that they have enough, you know, goodies and everything to cover them all. And I'm sure the parents came through. I know a few businesses that did as well. So we'll all cross our fingers that tonight they'll have a great time at their Grad Blast. So last week at the Board of Economic Development meeting, and right now at those meetings, they've got a great format. We're having two or more organizations, businesses from within the community come and speak to the Board of Economic Development. They give their pros and their cons. Of course, it's always wonderful to sit there and listen to how great they think Palmer is, and that's why they're in business here. So this last week was particularly interesting, I felt, because it was a Northern Industrial Training and a Job Corps. And they brought up several good things. One of the main things is that a lot of times it's not stressed enough just what kind of industrial hub we actually have here in Palmer. And I thought that was interesting. But again, it was brought up about being able to find, quote unquote, Palmer and find things in Palmer, in particular the event center. And I do think that's something that somewhere along the line, few heads will get together and something will get proposed on how we can work on that a little bit. I think the cleanup, I want to thank personally not only the Public Works Department, which always does a tremendous job, but Councilmember Irby and Councilmember Deputy Mayor Carrington and the police chief for they were awesome. They showed up right as it started up. They helped set up. They were there. They took care of everything, helped take it down. Everybody was having a great time, and it was really, really well received. And I've had several comments made to me that that's exactly what they were looking for, was, you know, a little bit more visibility of the city of Palmer folks. So, and there can't be anything better than seeing a kid with a brand new bicycle. I just don't think it gets better than that. So, finally, though, and no, I don't take the time to go over to the borough meetings, but I do try to read up on the agendas, particularly when it comes to budget time. And so I've actually been in contact with Assemblyman Sykes, because there are a couple of ordinances that are proposed and a couple of budget items that do affect revenue here in Palmer. And Assemblyman Sykes and I've been going back and forth. He asked me to provide him with a little bit of background. And I've been urging him to stay true to an ordinance that he's proposed that will repeal the motor vehicle tax and restore the original amounts to the cities. He was a little perturbed when I said, you know, about my third conversation with him, I said, I finally read through the whole thing, and you and whoever wrote it didn't get it right because there's not one single bit of repeal in here. Not one dime got changed. And he went, really? So that's getting at least worked on. So, and I do know that last night at the borough, during the budget meetings, that there had been nothing put in for the Palmer Library. And he did make a motion, and it did pass, to restore $40,000, which is a far cry from what we used to receive. But at least not being ignored. Of course, that can all be vetoed or whatever from now on. But between Assemblyman Sykes and Assemblyman Beck, I think they're watching out for us. So that's it. Thanks.
Councilwoman DeFries.
Thank you. Yes, I think the situation with the MTA Event Center and the MTA Sports Center is very, very, very concerning. I had been there also when they had the consignment shop there, and I think I sent an email to the city manager, maybe even to Mike and to the city clerk. I don't know if in our contract with MTA it says it has to be stated the MTA Event Center. But when it's one word off, I mean, to all of us sitting here in this room, there's no question where the event center is. But to Joe Blow, coming from Wasilla or from Fishhook someplace, you know, the AT&T one is the most notable one. And so I think it's something that needs to be addressed very soon. Somebody needs to reach out to MTA if it is a problem within our contract with them, and I don't know if it should be changed to the Palmer MTA Event Center or the, you know, I'm sure we have to still have MTA in there, but something needs to be done, because we will see people will not be using it. And you heard it tonight from Larry, and I, like I said, witnessed it, and so has it is a big concern. As was, I think you got an email this afternoon from the clerk, and as Mayor Larry DeVille was, I won't say mayor, sorry, Larry DeVille has talked about the marijuana petition. And so I think, you know, that probably will go forth. But I was wondering if the council wanted to put it on the election themselves, would we have to bring up a resolution or an ordinance and then have some public hearings, et cetera, on it? Is that what it would take? If somebody could clarify that for me, please.
Madam Clerk.
Thank you. It would be a resolution. And by our code and Title 29, it allows the council to adopt substantially the same language within a certain amount of days. So for the council to put something on the ballot, it requires to adopt a resolution. So you would adopt the resolution to put it onto the ballot.
Okay, and what is the date that we can do?
Until the end of July.
End of July, okay.
Do keep in mind, by that time frame, I would have certified that petition or not, rejected or certified that petition. So.
And once you certify the petition where it has the minimum number of signatures, whatever that is, do you know what that number of signatures is now?
Off the top of my head, I'm going to say 135.
Okay.
I think I'm within 5 or 10 there.
Okay. So, but once, say, those petitions would come back with those signatures on them and you certify them, can the city still then do it? And if we have to do a resolution, we would have to do it by the end of July. We'd have to have, what, about 3 council meetings before that? Because, I mean, we'd have to request it at one council meeting. Then you'd have to put it on the consent agenda. Then
it only requires one reading. So it could be put on an agenda under new business and adopted.
And then a new business, which home. Okay. And can quote somebody that testifies often to us, if we wanted to do 2 public hearings on it, then that would take at least 3 council meetings. And 1 to request it, or 2 council people coming in and talking to you to request it, and then 2 council meetings before the end of July. So we're getting pretty close close to that already, because we have two council meetings in July, and then we just have two in June. So, okay. I don't know how the rest of the council feels about it. Maybe somebody would like to chime in and say whether we should go ahead and put it on the agenda or wait for the petitions, will the petitions have a deadline? Once you certify the sponsor's petition, then they will have so long to, and how long will that be?
I'm looking it up. I do believe that it is 90 days.
Okay, so, but no later than the end of July. They have the same time frame we do?
They can turn it in later, but it won't be on the October ballot.
Okay.
I do have to verify that because there is like a little provision there that I.
Okay, if you can,
I'm
maybe
almost certain it's the same time frame, but there is a little provision that gives them, I think, an extra week. So it may be the 1st of August, but I will get back to you on that one.
Okay, yeah, maybe you could send that out just so we could have it and what you call it. And I, like I said, I don't know what the rest of the council feels like, but those are sort of the feelings and things, thoughts going through my mind now. Thank you. That's all.
Okay. Mr. Hanson. Okay. Councilman Irby. Okay. Councilman Best, I'm sure you have something.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Earlier this evening, I had talked to council and was questioning the attorney about the language of Chapter 2.22. That's the Park and Rec Cultural Resource Development Board, Advisory Board, excuse me. And the actions that council had already taken in the consent agenda. We've accepted some mayor appointments, all fine folks. The language of 2.22 has specific dates in it. If I can actually read, here's just one of the instances, 2.22.010, the creation. And under C, it says, a chair and vice chair of the board shall be selected and appointed from and by members during the first regular November meeting of each year. Well, we're appointing a new board. It's a fresh board. But by our code, they can't appoint somebody until November to be the chair and vice chair. So I'm asking council to postpone the previous council action of appointing those members onto the board officially. We've accepted them already, but we just haven't officially appointed them yet. Postpone that while the clerk and the attorney look at the entire chapter 2.22 and bring back some language for us to correct, to allow them a startup, to allow them to appoint their chairs, to allow them to appoint additional members, because there's more dates that are in this language that kind of prohibit that from starting up. So if I could get council support to direct the attorney and clerk, and I don't mind us voting on that either.
Okay. Madam Clerk, do you have any?
Just procedurally, the language that you used was postponed. So to do that, that would be a motion of reconsideration, and then you could postpone. We can't automatically postpone that. So just based on the language you used, you would need to do a motion of reconsideration.
Or do we just want to direct the attorney and the clerk to?
Would there be another suggestion that I could change?
Mr. Turney.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, thank you, members of the council. I don't know when the board's going to start up or when they're going to meet or when their first meeting is, but they're pretty technical amendments. It's a good catch on Richard's part to address this. And I think we can probably correct it pretty quickly and bring back some amendments to address that. So I don't know that you really need to do anything unless the clerk wants you to do something, aside from direct us to bring those things back at the next meeting.
You comfortable? Yeah. Mr. Manager.
In the staff report, you'll see that they're not scheduled to start meeting until July. And in the past, when we did the BED, it had the same kind of language, and it worked through them. So it has the same thing in the code.
So is the council comfortable? We'll just direct the...
I'll support Councilman Best's request that technical
language come back for us as quickly as possible so we can address the situation.
Yeah. May I ask a question, Clerk?
Yes.
Madam Clerk, are you okay with that?
I am. The first meeting that there's, excuse me, the meetings are held the first first Thursday of every month. So that would that be the first meeting is scheduled for July?
Yes.
Excuse me, the first Thursday. So I'm, we'll work on it and see if we can make it happen.
Okay. Or at least report back. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Councilman Best, did you have any other comments?
Yes, certainly. I also participated in the community cleanup. I was on my side of the road helping clean up. I would like to convey to council the excitement that was witnessed. I stopped and dropped off bags a couple of times. I happened to be the last person dropping off bags, and the director of the Chamber of Commerce was still there with a single bike, and everybody else was gone, and he was waiting because they had called the name of the person that had already gone home. And up pulls this minivan, and you could just see this little thing, and they're just bouncing up and down, you know, still seat belted in, but just bouncing up and down. And as soon as the car stopped, the door flew open, and this little girl ran over to this little boy's bike. And she was just tickled to death, just giddy, excited, and to see the smile on the director's face, you know, that's the good stuff that we all want to be part of. That's just good stuff. And it was awesome to witness. My daughter, many years ago, was also a recipient of one of those bicycles when she was 7 or 8, and same kind of enthusiasm. And it's that kind of stuff that make a community. So that was awesome. Thanks.
Yes, cleanup day was amazing. I was very impressed with Ralph and the Palmer Chamber of Commerce. He spent a lot of money. He's put a lot of time into it and really worked hard in getting that to happen. And I don't know that we've given him much kudos for that, but I'd say he did very well. And our new police chief was excellent. Someone there, I don't know if it was Ralph, suggested, do you have any crime scene tape? So he went and got some crime scene tape to protect those bicycles. But then he also was inviting kids in. Do you want to come look at the bikes? You know, I mean, so it was a very good mixture. And I really enjoyed this, you know, seeing our new police chief in action. Yes, ma'am.
Your Honor. I forgot our public testimony. I was just going to say, if I could have somebody else on the council, on ordinance number 15-016 that we postponed until the 28th of July, that if the clerk and the attorney, when they prepare the additional language, feels that we should schedule another public hearing so there's no question about that, I think that would probably be a good idea.
Thank you, so. Okay, and then the next thing is an executive session. So we're looking, is there a motion to move an executive session to discuss subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person? City manager, note, personnel action may be taken following the executive session. So looking for a motion and a second.
Second.
Okay. All right, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Want to take a break? Why would we?
Yes, we're going to take a
clear out the audience.
6-minute break here.